Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
Hi.
Hey, No Bad Dog Army. This is a first podcast of its kind that I'm putting out anyway. This is an individual that actually was going to euthanize her dog today. And I think after talking to me, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the dog is going to stay alive, I think. And this is obviously, like, you guys got to tread lightly on these types of things. You know, there's some cases where I just reflect to another trainer personally in person because it's just, it's too much of a toss up of, like, I don't know. You know, when we talk about behavioral euthanasia, obviously there's a time and a place for it. But this is somebody who just literally is doing all the wrong things. And interesting enough, obviously without me knowing, I put out a podcast, episode 210, and it was titled and is titled, I believe, This Is How to Ruin Your Dog. And yeah, this ruins all dogs. And that podcast was not my opinion per the reinforcement of this podcast. This is the reality, is if you baby and coddle your dog and you don't give them structure and you don't give them boundaries and you don't give them direction and you don't tell them no because you love them and they're cute, you ruin your dog. And that's exactly what this individual does. Well, it's almost like I paid her to have this conversation. I'm going to be honest. It seems fake after the podcast I put out, and it's not. It's 100% a client. And she basically said that she has coddled her dog and she has given her dog no boundaries, and this dog can do whatever they want. And now she had an appointment to put her dog down. So she is the problem and the solution of her dog's problems. And so she's being responsible and taking initiative, and I gave her a lot of props and a lot of credit. You can tell in her voice that it's really weighing on her, and it's a really tough decision to put down, you know, your best friend of 7 years or any years for that matter. And so I beg you and plead with you guys, like, I don't get into the dog training politics anymore because it's never going to change, right? There's going to be a left, there's going to be a right, there's going to be whatever. My job, my goal, my passion, my being is like, look, here's the facts about what's going on. You can either choose whatever you want, but here's the reality of what happens, right? So it has nothing to do with that. This is just somebody who didn't do anything. And it happens over and 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 over again. Dogs die every single day from the lack of structure, from the lack of telling your dog no, from literally inhumanely raising your dog to feel like they're a human and they're not. It kills them. And if you don't get to a point where your dog has to be euthanized behaviorally because of the mess that we've made, the dog, it just lives this anxious life of not knowing anything their whole life, just panic every day, unless they're sitting on your lap, which is so inhumane. So anyway, guys, that's what this is. It's a emotional one. At the end of the podcast, I'll be answering three of your dog training questions. So make sure you go over to the iTunes review chart and leave your review. And, you know, have mercy and compassion to somebody like this. You know, I know that there's not a comment section here, but, you know, when you're listening to this, just understand that this is a person that was going to put down their dog today and they made a different alternative decision. So this is hard. So respect to this person, love for this person, and guidance and empathy for this person. And I wish you all the best. And anybody else that's dealing with these types of situations, just understand that there's somebody out there that can help you. Enjoy.
Hey, I kind of came across you because I was having an issue with one of my dogs.
Okay.
So I have this dog, Clara. She's a rat terrier beagle mix. and I've had her since she was a pup. She's going to be 7 in September. And she is a really anxious dog. She is unpredictable. She has attacked my husband, has attacked my kids. She's attacking the other animals in the house. And my husband is basically saying, you know, enough. We can't live like this with her unpredictableness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know what to do. I actually had a euthanasia appointment scheduled for her today, but I said I'd rather talk to somebody first.
Okay. So she's almost seven. Have you had her since she was a puppy?
Yes, I have. She's never been abused. She doesn't have, she's got all these issues. You would think that she's been abused, but she hasn't been.
Okay. So, talk to me about the aggressiveness towards the people, your husband and everyone else. So what does that look like? How does that happen?
Years ago, she attacked a child who tried to pet her.
Okay.
And we were just kind of like, okay, she hates other people. She pretty much hates everybody but me.
Okay. So when you say attacked a child, what's the context of that? She was sitting there, child walked up. What happened?
No, the child kind of chased her down.
Okay.
And cornered her.
Okay.
And then touched her and she bit.
Okay.
The child's hands.
She bit the child's hands how many times?
Once.
Okay. So just to paint you a picture and go over some things from my standpoint as a professional who works with pretty much basically just behavior. There's warranted cases of bites, right? Where a dog pretty much had no choice, or we put the flame to the dog and, you know, dance monkey dance type thing. And from what you just told me, that's something that was, you know, a human error. From what you told me.
I didn't blame her for that. That was the first incident.
Okay.
The last incident was my husband was watching football. She was sitting in between us. Our team scored, and he got really excited and said yes. And she just jumped up and bit the crap out of him.
Okay. So when she bit him, how did that happen? Did she just like lunge and then come back and then, or did she hang on, or what happened?
Well, she lunged for his arm. I'm trying to think if she hung on, but I think she just might have lunged once and bit him and let go.
Okay. So just one bite?
Yes.
Okay. How bad was the bite?
It was really bad. It was like really deep and bruised, and he had to clean it out, but he didn't end up having to go to the doctor for it.
Didn't or
but
did?
But she punctured. He did not.
Okay. Okay.
But she had punctured his skin, and it left him, you know, black and blue and green for a little while.
Okay. Okay. And then after that, she was fine. She didn't try to go after him again. How was her behavior after that?
Well, he basically got up and flung her across the room, and she was really ashamed and
okay.
Meek.
Okay. And that was the last bite there.
Well, that was the last human bite.
Okay.
The last time, a few days ago, we have a little Chihuahua puppy, and
okay.
We thought they adored each other. They play. She's been on medication 3 times a day for a few months now. We thought she was improving, and she just went after the puppy.
Okay, what was the context of that?
They were playing, and then we were in the next room over, and we just heard the puppy screaming, and we went and pulled her off of her.
Okay. So was there toys? Was there a bone?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't generally let her play with toys out of our sight. We don't give her treats because she guards them and just buries them in the couch and growls at everybody.
Okay. Okay. So Was there wounds there? Was there punctures?
She kind of got her eye a little bit, so the puppy's eye was a little puffy, but she didn't puncture anything.
Okay. So, okay. I'm going to just go over what I'm thinking here, okay? And it's good that
I should also mention she has seizures. She's on medication for seizures as well, and she had a seizure the night she bit the puppy.
Okay. So I'm going to just talk about my experience with behavioral euthanasias and just from what I'm hearing. So when I have been involved with behavioral euthanasias, which I never would, unless really crazy circumstances, would do over the phone without meeting a dog, I can kind of just point people in the right direction, you know, consult them through the process. It's typically very neurotic, dangerous to society behavior. These are unpredictable, dangerous situations where, let's say, there's no triggers, there's no reason, there's just no context. The dog just snaps and they attack. Yeah. But there is a difference between attacking and biting and nipping and attacking. There's a lot of different calibers there when it comes to dogs. Dogs, no matter the size, for the most part, can do whatever damage they want to do. They want to do, right? So it's like what their intentions are. So, the first bite with the other dog or in the kid, that's not even warranted to speak on. That's just a human's error mistake. And then on top of that, I would say the bite that your husband got, again, like it's not appropriate for your dog to do something like that. But from a behavioral standpoint, again, like what I'm looking for is there a reason? Is there something that had happened that had made the dog explode like that? And to some degree, you know, we could, again, is it appropriate and something we want? Absolutely not. It's not cool. It's not appropriate. It's not what we want. But at the same time, like from my standpoint, it sounds to me that's something, obviously, as your dog gets older in age, specifically dealing with seizures and neurological things going on, any type of like little or big thing could be very scary to a dog. And the way that the dog reacts, if they go into fight or flight. So with the kid, we had to go into fight mode because we were backed up into a corner, right? And so sometimes we see, I used to be an animal control officer, so I my job literally was to report dog bites in my town. That was my job. And I had to decide with the court system, with my experience, whether or not this bite was a dangerous, you know, bite. Is this dog going to do it again? Is this dog dangerous to public? That's really what it comes down to, especially for behavioral euthanasia. And so if I were to hear this case, I wouldn't say that this is a case that needs to require euthanasia. But there's a whole process of making sure that you have the bandwidth and the responsibility to just be mindful of this dog obviously going through things. And so when we're sitting on the couch and the dog is, you know, sleeping or relaxing or both, and they're in a dead sleep, I've seen dogs be walked on in the middle of the night and then them nip their owners because they have no choice. It's kind of like a startled response. And so that's what I'm thinking had happened with this case, where the dog is sleeping in between you guys comfortably, or the dog is relaxing comfortably or whatever, and then somebody just claps and screams really quickly and then the dog responds that way. The intentions behind a dog who is actively trying to hurt somebody is pretty deliberate. It's not a one and done thing. That's why I'm asking you, because the way that the dog bites matters. So again, like some people who have never dealt with these types of situations may say, my dog attacked my husband, my dog attacked this child. And when I'm digging in, I'm seeing that your dog are nipping these people and is not deciding to continue to bite. So, and then the way that they act after is really important for people like myself who do behavioral stuff, because are they, you know, like a person, right? Does somebody walk off and after punching somebody in the face, do they have an emotional breakdown after and feel bad and going through depression? Because if that's the case, then they probably won't do it again, and or they didn't want to do it. But when we have a dog that bites somebody in the face or bites somebody in the arm and then rolls over on their back and says, okay, now pet my belly, that's an issue. So these are really important things, and I think that you've laid it out pretty clearly to me that the dog doesn't, you know, really know what he's doing is wrong, he or she's doing is wrong.
She's ashamed. She's definitely ashamed afterwards.
That's good. That's good that there's that that's there where she's like, oops, that was bad. So that's just off the top of my head what I'm thinking of what's going on. Again, if I was to be laying down and I had a dog in between me and my wife or me and my buddy and somebody jumped up and, you know, screamed and clapped or whatever, and then the dog nipped that person, that's like when you wrestle in the house and the dog gets really amped up and starts nipping at people's heels to stop it and police it. That's kind of like a similar thing. So to me, that's what I'm thinking about what's going
on. Yeah, she bit the Amazon guy too, because she's also very territorial. I forgot to mention that. She did. He just came into the yard, and when he saw the dogs, because I have a big pit bull, he saw the pit bull, he started running, and she went after him and bit at his heel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these types of bites, again, these nips and stuff, these are all a combination of human error. So to me, it just seems like what you should be focusing on and doing, if you want to, is to really be working on your control with this dog, because obviously this dog has had the lack thereof structure and obedience and control.
Yes, she absolutely has no boundaries. She is, mm-hmm. like, we can't lock her in a room. She will scratch and bite until she's bloody and her mouth is bloody. Mm-hmm. She'll bite the sheetrock. I mean, mm-hmm. she's very, very neurotic.
So, yeah, so all of these types of things all equal to the same dog. This is what happens. That's why I know these things before you tell me, because typically dogs who end up like this don't have any respect for human beings. They care, they love, but they're not like, well, I don't want to get in trouble. So yeah, so these are all very A plus B equals C, 1 + 1 = 2. It all makes sense. So for me, in my standpoint, in my suggestion, is simply to work through some sort of obedience type of control thing, because basically the lack of structure and boundaries and all the rules and regulations, like you said, that's not there. This dog, unfortunately, is acting like this and acting out because of this.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I would be focusing on, is these are minor things that most dog owners face. You know, because the dog is basically like getting away with so much. Yeah. And, you know, like those are the types of things that you should be focusing on, in my opinion, is really, you know, what's fair to the dog. Because is the dog's behavior dangerous? No, because this dog hasn't mauled anybody. This dog hasn't put anybody in the hospital. And in fact, every single bite that we've had so far, you know, have been pretty minor. And those are all decisions that the dog has made. So to me, I would be focusing on the freedom that you're giving this dog, because obviously this dog has gotten too much freedom from your control. If your dog is off leash in a yard and there's an Amazon driver and your dog has a bite history or chasing people, like that's on you.
We've since put up signs and locked the gates so that, because they weren't supposed to come in the yard to begin with, but you know, we've completely made it so people can't get into the yard.
Yep. And that's what you have to do. Is you have to say, I have this dog and people are going to not listen. So how can you control the narrative? And how can you control, like, okay, when somebody does come into the yard, no matter how many signs and locks are on there or whatever, you know, how are you going to control this situation? And luckily it's a smaller dog, so we're not dealing with, you know, German Shepherd wounds. We're dealing with a smaller medium to medium dog. So that's what I think. I think that this is all something that, unfortunately, again, is human error. And you'll have to manage moving forward. Like, okay, this dog, obviously, like, I wouldn't let the dog on the couch or on the seat with us when we're doing, you know, when we're watching sports. And to be honest, I would just set this dog up for success moving forward throughout the dog's life. To be successful, because right now it's been like, things are changing. We're getting older. We're dealing with more seizures, or in general, these are all things that, you know, to me, I would be like, okay, you know, the routines and the schedule and the way that this dog lives, her life with us has to change.
Okay.
And that's because
I have babied her. Like, I've babied her extremely. She's, you know, attached to me. She obsessively licks me. Mm-hmm. She sleeps with me. She wants to be next to me wherever I am, and she will break down a wall to get to me.
Yep.
If I'm not there. And but how do I do that? How do I?
Oh, it's a good question. Okay, so I just, interesting enough, I just did a podcast on this, that the emotion that we dump on our dogs and the lack of structure and our compassion and empathy and love towards dogs, if not controlled or managed, will ultimately, in your case, could kill the dog. And I know that that sounds dramatic, but it's not. It's exactly what had happened. So here's what you can do to start adding structure and start adding boundaries and other things to be successful with your dog. The first thing is it's not going to be easy, obviously, because if it were easy, you wouldn't be talking to me. And the dog is 7 years old, and you've been doing this, or almost seven, and you've been doing this, you know, since the dog was born. And so the dog is already routinely like, the confidence is low, the security is low. Like you said, the dog can get away with, you know, she feels like she can get away with stuff without repercussion. But ultimately, the behavior of the dog is also something of what you're seeing. So, you know, whatever. So what you can do is you can start with structure, start giving your dog rules and regulation and boundaries. And the way to start that is to start with just putting the leash on the dog. So
okay,
I typically start with this type of case. You could probably start with a martingale collar.
And is that just a flat collar or
it's like
the prong?
Nope. It's like it's neither. It's like a flat collar with some what we call action. So it does move in and out, but it doesn't get tight like a choke collar would. And this is a good first start for most people to start with that. It'll be helpful for your dog as well to not like jump into it too significantly. To be honest, like what you should do outside of you trying to do this is work with a trainer in person. That would be the best thing. I've taken in dogs myself personally that don't have the same thing. It's literally the same dog that you have. No boundaries, never been told no, never enforced anything, do what you want, free for all. And then the dog ends up an absolute mess. So what I would do is get yourself a leash, get yourself a training collar that you're comfortable with that works. Doesn't have to be a martingale. It's just my suggestion. The other thing that would be really easy for you to get is just a basic slip leash, which essentially is like a kennel leash or a slip leash like we have them on our website. Things like that. Like that's what I would recommend to you. Things like that. So anyway, and you start with boundaries, okay? So you start, and what does boundaries mean for dog owners? That means it's a very simple common sense ideology to me. Boundaries is essentially giving your dog options to live, like not literally live, but to live a safe life, right? So again, boundaries for kids would be like, homework's done, brush your teeth, be home by 8, whatever. Like, these are rules and regulations that mom and dad set to keep you safe because we love you. And those are, and then you know the kid's going to grow up with, okay, I got to listen. I got to, you know, if I don't listen, there's consequences, right? So these are the types of things that's really going to help your dog understand thoroughly, okay, these are the rules and regulations that I have. Here's the boundaries that are set. So for you and your dog, you'll start that with basic principles of thresholds, which is the easiest way to do it. So a threshold is essentially something that the dog is going to go through, like a door, or you could use food. Basically, once the environment and the opportunity is presented, the dog's going to assume what's going to happen next. And then you're going to say it has to be. So you have to start putting things on your terms, essentially. So right now, your dog, so this is at the fundamental level. Your dog sees something they want, they get it. There's no filter. There's nothing that would stop this dog under any circumstance to say, wait a minute, am I going to get in trouble for this, and or is this okay and safe to do? It's just like the dog just does it. So that's what you'll see at the foundational level. So then what ends up happening is when the behavior starts to turn, or the behavior starts to worsen, where the dog maybe bites somebody because there's, again, no filter, nothing there, the dog just acts, that's where you start to get into trouble. So my suggestion is start off with some basic obedience, like the place and stay. So I have a course called the No Bad Dog Kickstarter course, which
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great course to start on basics. Like, if you want to know how to put in obedience and put in thresholds, that's an excellent course on it because it's exactly what it is. We originally were going to call it the puppy course, but once I started the course, I realized that all of my behavioral clients, including you, are missing the things that I'm teaching in this course. So the reason why dogs get to the behavioral place that they get to is because they're missing the things in that course. And that's why we switched from the No Bad Dog puppy course to the No Bad Dog Kickstarter course, because it'll kickstart conversations like this. Like, okay, I want to add boundaries. I want to add regulations. I want to add structure. I want my dog to respect me. I want my dog to look at me. I want my dog to ask for direction, because that's what dogs want to do. That's the best course for you to start, so you're not like overwhelmed with everything that I'm saying, but I'm going to keep going down this path with you. Okay. So that's really what you want to start doing. So let's say you put a leash on a dog, and you go up to a door that you've walked out with this dog ever since they were a puppy. She's going to think, okay, we're going through the slider. We're going through the door. Easy peasy. So what you do is you stop. You say, sit. Oftentimes, in my experience, with dogs who haven't been taught basic obedience, or dogs who have never been told no, meaning they get away with everything, when we say sit, the only time that they do it is if there's a cookie or...
when they want to.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yeah. So she is.
So here's what happens, is you say, hey, I want you to do something, and then she's like, well, you got to give me a $20 bill to at least clean up my own dinner. You know, that's the idea anyway. Like, you know, with your kids, you're like, hey, can you clean up your mess? Give me $20. It's like, well, that's not really how it works, right? But that's what you're dealing with. That's your ecosystem right now. So you'll start working on these things like, hey, dog, sit, right? And they go, what do you got for me? And you may just flash them a little bit of food. They put their butt on the ground. But the thing is you have to hold that sit, okay? And then you can release the dog on your terms. So right now, she's going to do whatever she wants to do, which is why you're in the predicament, right? So let's say Amazon driver's in your yard running and she takes after him. If your obedience was good, you could recall her back. But you said, hey, come. And she's like, yeah. Yeah, right. I'm after this guy. Yeah. So, but that's all your relationship, right? So same thing with kids, right? We get a kid at the supermarket or at the store, and they're going up and down the aisles, and they're knocking everything down, and they are taking pickle jars and they're smacking them on the ground or whatever. You can input a really misbehaved kid anywhere you want. And we're not going to look at the kid. We're going to look at the parents and say, well, what is going on here? How do you not have control? So that's like what you're dealing with your dog, unfortunately, is just the idea of you saying something to your dog and your dog actually understanding it is not, you've never worked on it with her and it's just not your relationship. There's not that tangible, oh, you're giving me information and I'm going to follow through with it. So those are the types of things I would start working on, is getting to the door, saying sit. The dog doesn't sit. We use our leash for a little bit of pressure. The dog puts their butt on the ground. We go to reach for the door. The dog's going to get up again. These are the types of things that you have to work on. So right now your dog is going to trigger or to do what she wants to do depending on what she thinks is going to happen. So she's not listening to you. She's not engaged with you. She's not looking at you. She doesn't care about you right there. So those are the types of things that you have to do. Walk up to the door, tell your dog to sit, which is going to be a challenge in itself. Work on the sit, but the dog can't get up out of the sit until you verbally say, okay, break. And that's structure, and that's boundaries, and that's rules. Go to your room. Why? Because I said so. I mean, these are the types of things that you have to have that control for respect issues. Like, it's not just about you wanting control because you want to be the boss. It's about, well, when we get to Disneyland and I tell you to do something, I don't want you running across the parking lot with your head cut off, you know, by a car or something. Like, there has to be control. So that's what I would start to do, is put her in a sit, work on a distraction, reach for the door handle, jiggle it, she's going to get right back up. And then you put her back into a sit. So you have to teach her that she has to follow through with a behavior until you say, okay, break, free, recess, have fun. That will rewire your, she'll look at you and she'll go, oh, really? You're going to, so really for one word, I would say it's accountability.
Okay.
She has no accountability. She just does. She doesn't think. She just does.
Yeah, I've had such a problem finding trainers because, one, I live on the wrong side of town, basically, where you have to cross this bridge. It's full of traffic to get to services. And the other part was she would not be good in a group setting because she's super dog reactive. Mm-hmm. Like, she flips out, anxious, doing cartwheels when other dogs are around. Mm-hmm. And most of the trainings offered are group trainings. Mm. So do you think I should like tough that out and try group training, or do I need to be looking at private training?
I would be doing whatever you can do, because it's going to hopefully save your dog's life. So for me, I mean, I would just be looking for somebody who offers maybe a board and train service, or
board and train. Okay.
Yeah. So that's basically when you drop your dog off for a couple weeks at a time for somebody to plug into your dog to reset things. That's okay. Extremely valuable for somebody like you, because that's really, the dog needs to be away from you, because right now your dog isn't a dog. Your dog's a shell of a dog. Your dog is an emotional, confused animal. So she doesn't know how to be, she doesn't know how to regulate things. She doesn't know how to deal with stress, because anytime she's ever been stressed, we just remove her. She barked, we pick her up, we let her up on the couch, or, you know, we put her in the crate and she immediately comes out, things like that. So this is a dog that can't deal with things. And so it kind of has to be like what they call in horse training, like breaking a horse in a good way, where they have to basically, you know, bow down and say, and not bow down as like a bad way, just, I'm going to accept direction now. Like, I've been so about me, and that's what you really need. To be honest, that would be really helpful to you.
Okay.
So I would just be finding somebody, and you might have to drive a little bit to get to somebody, but I can guarantee you there'll be somebody that you can find within driving distance that can help you and your dog. But that's really what you need, is you need a reset to say, like, I've basically created this with my dog, and somebody needs to go in and rewire things and teach your dog that how to be a dog. Because right now, again, like, your dog is a shell. Your dog is not a dog. And it's sad to see, and I know that you know this, because you're getting to a point where you're like, okay, I've, you know, basically ended up like sabotaging this dog, unfortunately, and now you need a reset, and you just need somebody to come in to start creating structure. And the best way that I've explained it to people is if you're a kid living on the streets like a feral person and you have no boss, no parents, no responsibility, nobody telling you nothing, you could do whatever you want, and then you go into military. So military is exactly what I'm talking about with structure. It's this is what time we wake up. This is how we make our bed. This is how we shine our shoes. This is what time we eat. This is how many miles we run. It's very a matter of fact. And why do people come out of the military or boot camp different? Why do they have them? Why have we been using these forever? It's because it changes the way that the person thinks. It makes them more responsible. It makes them more on time. It makes them more respectful. It makes them more disciplined. There's a reason why that works. And with dogs, it should be, it has to be more than people with their lives, because we're copying and pasting them into a world of humans and they don't know how to respond to that. So they're confused. So if they don't have somebody giving them that direction, then they absolutely self-sabotage, and that's what you're dealing with. So.
Okay. And so what do you think I should be doing to keep the puppy safe while I look for a border?
Personally, I would be just keeping just exactly that. I would just be keeping them, what we call a crate and rotate. So what I typically do is I just, I will crate and rotate. So not necessarily a crate, because I don't think your dog right now is going to be good in a crate.
So you just
separate them, and you have to go out and you have to walk them. You have to go. I mean, a lot of exercise is necessary. And say you live in an environment that it's not really suitable to go for walks often, or it's not comfortable to go for walks often. We have all sorts of different, I mean, you name it. If there's an excuse, we have something for it. So we typically will just use, like, I have a lot of my clients that live in this New York City, and to get off the, I don't know, 14th floor to go downstairs to walk your dog, I mean, to me, it's like the most, I mean, it's inhumane not to do something like that. But for some people, it's just, I get it. Like, they're not going to do it. And so we have all sorts of different, like, games. Like, so you could do, there's dog pacers, which are treadmills. There's prey pulls to get them out. But that's the other thing, too, is the dog's going to need some sort of exercise as well.
Okay. All right. So she needs exercise. She needs boarding. That all makes sense.
Personally, that's what you really need. This is a project, a big project. And the best results you'll see, in my opinion, is to just find somebody that can plug in with your dog and really reset things. And the longer, the better. And that, in my opinion, is going to be the most effective thing for you and your dog. And right now, because of the, you can bring them for walks together. You can put them on the leash and go out back with them. Your dog's not an aggressive dog by nature. She's not going to attack this dog randomly. Maybe the play got too much and the puppy didn't know when to shut off, and then the dog just corrected her and it turned into something else, likely. So, I mean, they can be around each other. It's not like they're going to, you know, try to kill each other. It's just, you know, they're not going to be off leash playing around with each other. So I would just put them on leash, control it. If you want to put them in a small room to just watch their behavior, if they play, limit it, because when you get a dog, when you get a puppy, they can be overwhelming. They're a lot, and they can get annoying after 10 minutes of play. And once you see your older dog start to become disinterested or try to stop playing, that's where you just say, okay, enough, and that's it. So these are all things that I would be doing, because I think that play and that interaction with one another is going to be good for their mental health. Like, being able to, like, exert some energy would be good. But, you know, I think the mistake that you made is you just let him off leash, or, you know, and then I think the puppy was too much, and then your older dog was like, okay, I'm correcting this, and that's what happened.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we've had some incidents with the cats too. Like I said, she's an obsessive licker, and she'll obsessively groom the cats, and sometimes when the cats have enough, she's lashed out at them. But, you know, that's always been that's because they were like, wow, you know, trying to push her away or whatever, that she lashed out. Mm-hmm. So I think you might be right about her getting too stimulated or just having enough.
Yeah, you just have to advocate whatever they're doing, whatever the dogs are doing. You have to just watch the situation, you know, like with kids, right? Honestly, that's what it comes down to, is you see a kid starting to really, and the other kids picking, you have to step in. It's okay, enough. And you just kind of pull them away, and that's how you deal with it.
Okay.
That's how it's just a simple way. Like, dogs are, you know, they're going to be short fused and you know, maybe, you know, tempered, you know, especially with a puppy, that, you know, that's what you do, is you step in and advocate and say, okay, enough, we're done. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. What was the name of that collar again? A martingale collar?
Martingale collar. You can use a slip leash as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've definitely given me somewhere to start.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You know, I'm going to make some calls and see if I can find anybody to take her. Cause I always kind of assumed nobody would take her cause she's aggressive. But you know, maybe if I can frame it in such a way that she's less aggressive, more just untrained.
Yep. I would, yeah, I think both. I think, you know, the untrained turned her, you know, kind of like this. So, yeah, I would just try to find somebody that, you know, can do a board and train that can really help you out.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody, so I'll make some calls.
Oh, yeah. And again, like, you know, make phone calls. Make emails. Hey, I got a dog. Hasn't attacked anybody and has gone, you know, after a couple people because... You know, we made some mistakes, and so I personally feel like, for me, this is a really easy behavioral case for me. This is something that we can easily, this does not warrant any type of euthanasia. This is just like, you know, you created a problem, and now you need to retract and figure out and, you know, put the energy and time and money into finding somebody that can help you change the way that the dog is thinking, and to also help you rewire the situation so you know,
yeah,
you can regain control.
Okay. All right, well, thank you. I really appreciate you talking to me today.
Yeah, you're welcome. I would just stay patient. Don't make any mistakes, you know, don't put her into a situation where she's going to fail, because you don't have the control to help her with that.
Yeah. Like, we don't take her outside of the house. I don't walk her outside of the backyard because I don't know what she's going to do. And but I'm getting aware.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just remove all the situations that she would not be successful in.
No, you should control her. That's a great point, is you're trying to control all these things. When if you just controlled her, that's the problem. That's the source.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I would do.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to go talk to my husband now. I appreciate your call.
Okay. Yep. You're welcome. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, you've reached the end of the podcast, which means I'm going to be answering three of your dog training questions. First one comes from R. Wood 881. Hey Tom, you've helped me with learning to work with my dog who is in utter pain. I love her. She's a 7-year-old Belgian Malinois boxer mix. She growls at my girlfriend and strangers, and I correct and even claim them like a trainer suggests by standing in front of my girlfriend or whatever. She's growling at and firm tones say no, and she will just whimper, and then we make her go lay down inside the home. We use a slip lead and a pop on the leash on her, and she will sit when she's in my space using spatial pressure. We nudge her until she sits with our knee gently on her butt and then hits the ground and then walk away. We're told she's just being a protector. It sounds like you have a trainer that's working with you, and I would just go with what they're telling you to do because they have met the dog. They've been in front of the dog. They know the dog. It's kind of a confusing situation to me. I think you're telling your dog to sit and getting in between people as she's growling. So I would just do whatever your trainer's telling you to do, because they know the dog better than I do, and that's something I would go down. Especially if you're not doesn't sound like any of this is a problem at all. It sounds like you're just doing something to your dog and it's working, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's not working because you're asking this question. I'm not sure. I need a little bit more context on this in order to figure it out. Next one comes in Das O'Donnell. Hello, Tom. A friend recommended your videos after we got a German Shepherd puppy, now 4 months old, and as the podcasts have been so helpful. I really appreciate the way that you share your knowledge and experience with such humility. I can't read, I guess, while being honest about what people need to change their improvements. What is the best way to train the dog to leave a free-range chicken, rabbits, and ducks alone? Recall. That's your answer. Recall. You're not going to teach this dog how to stop leaving these little things that move with feathers and all these noises that they're making. That's not going to happen. That's like, how do I get my kitten to stop chasing a yarn ball? Nope. Not going to happen. Recall. Off-leash recall. That's what it comes down to. You have a dog that's running around on a farm and it has a prey drive. And so if your dog doesn't have good off-leash control, that's likely going to be enforced by a remote collar. You shouldn't let your dog off-leash, period. If your dog is on leash, they can't get to any of these things. So it's a win-win. Teach your dog how to be off-leash because that's the surrounding environments that your dog is in to be successful. And if your dog isn't going to be off-leash, they should be on-leash around these other animals because that's the safest thing to do. Next one comes from Podcast Junkie. Incredible episode. Hi, Tom. I just wanted to reach out and say how much I enjoyed the podcast with Frank. I could listen to his stories for another 3 hours. A wealth of knowledge. Learned a lot. Thank you so much. Kennedy 1728. Hi, I have a German Shepherd. He is 2 years old and he is an outside dog. And we're about to move. And he lived at this property his whole life. Do you have any tips to make the transition a bit easier? I would say just the routine. Whatever routine that you've done with your dog at this house, do at your new place. Just make sure that they get a lot of that mental and physical exercise going to continue to be successful. It's a good question, but that's what I would do. And anytime that you're in a new place, just go for walks. You just kind of get that routine going, the same thing you've been doing. Next one comes from RH River 5555. Hi, Tom. Again, I have a question. I may be kind of a dumb, but I told there's no such thing as a dumb question. So when I put my dog into the sit position and they're not supposed to move, tie give them a break. This doesn't make any sense, but I'll do my absolute best. Tie give them a break command. Sometimes I'll say break, but they don't move. Do I just say it once and then can't leave them? I just have a hard time reading this because it's just in broken English here, but I'm going to do my best. I think the question is, how do you get your dog to break if you say break and they don't? That's where you would encourage your dog to break, maybe with like a ball or something. So just treats or a ball, throw it on the ground and doing the best you can to encourage your dog to break. So your body, like leaning down, like break, 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 make it explosive, make it fun. Don't just stand up and go break, break, break. You have to be explosive with your break, break. Use your body, bend down, use a ball, use a treat. If your dog isn't breaking, it's simply because they don't know that they're on a break, which means you have to do a better job to get more animated for your dog to, you know, break free. So, all right, you guys, hope this was helpful for you guys. On the next podcast, I'll be answering your questions. Make sure you head over to the iTunes review chart and leave your review with your question, and I'll answer it next episode. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.